Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Man, that theme music gets your blood pumping, doesn't it? And we're ready to go on a Saturday morning, a big Saturday of racing. I'm Seth Merrow. This is Racing Across America. Thanks for joining us. Thanks also to our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. We're going to talk some fairgrounds because they have a big day scheduled. And on their Twitter feed, they are listing. If you watched fairgrounds at all this week, you know they got hit with a monsoon on Thursday. And you'll hear more about that from Brian Addo. We talked a little bit about it on the Handicapper Report, but he's coming up in just a moment. But as far as today's racing, they tweeted out a half an hour ago, main track is rated good, but it's well on its way to fast. The turf course is rated soft. They are off the turf for races 5 and races 7. The fifth race is a maiden race. The seventh race was the stakes race, the Colonel Power. Those are off. The other turf races, however, are on. So again, the turf course is rated soft. Just keep that in mind going forward. Some other bookkeeping. Oaklawn canceled a couple of days ago with their anticipated very cold weather down in that area. So they've canceled throughout the weekend down at Oaklawn. If you're like me and you like the Oaklawn racing and you're looking for it, no Oaklawn this weekend. They took the stakes from this weekend, moved them to next weekend. We'll have Brad Cox on a little later. He had some notables entered this weekend at Oaklawn. He's planning to go to next week, but we'll talk a little bit about those later with Brad Cox. Gulfstream Park today, a mandatory in the Rainbow Six. They're expecting $6 million in the pool, so keep that in mind if you're playing today and you like the Rainbow. No better time than to pop in for a mandatory, and that happens today down at Gulfstream. Also, the Derby Future Pool 3 is live this weekend. That goes until 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Probably makes sense if you're going to play. Take a look at the Risen Star down at Fairgrounds and get an idea there, particularly if you like one of the horses running in it, because it could knock your price down a little bit. But certainly jump in tomorrow before 6 o'clock, Derby Future Pool 3. Tampa had a crazy late sequence yesterday that led to a late pick five carryover at Tampa today of just under $50,000. People will play into that. Those pick fives are popular. You get a carryover. So again, the late pick five today at Tampa, nice little juicy carryover there. And I guess that takes you through. I'll hit you just quickly with some of the promos because there are a couple notable this weekend. Today there's a $100 online knockout challenge. Check out the website for more information there. And we'd love to have you come down to the Racebook today and try a new promotion, the Play the Board Handicapping Contest. Should be a lot of fun. That happens today at the Clubhouse Racebook. Same location that tomorrow we'll be spinning the prize wheel during the afternoon. Sunday, prize wheel day here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Tomorrow there's also a $150 online pick five bankroll. I'll be playing that on behalf of the bankroll team. Check out the website for your eligibility to get on the team Sunday for the online pick five. And Monday, there's a knockout challenge here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Monday, of course, a holiday, and some of the bigger tracks will be running. Should be a lot of fun. That's Sunday. That's Monday right here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, let's jump in. We have on today's show, a little bit later on, pre-taped Brad Cox yesterday. He has Mandaloon today in the Risen Star. I like Mandaloon, so I really wanted to talk to Brad to find out his thoughts on that one. He's got Travel Column, a live runner in the Rachel Alexandra, a couple other runners on the undercard stakes action, and as I say, Essential Quality, Monomoy Girl next week at Oaklawn, and next week Nick's Go goes in the Saudi Cup. So we talked about all those with Brad. That'll come up in a few. Towards the end of the show, we'll be joined live by Dave Rodman from Laurel. They have a big stakes day as well, the General George, the Barbara Fritchie, some other stakes. So we'll talk to Dave Rodman later about that. But right now, our colleague Brian Addo, of course, he's down at Fairgrounds this winter doing the commentary, paddock commentary, pre-games. He does the notes and whatnot. So I thought we'd reach out to Brian, actually have him stick around. We taped yesterday the Handicapper's Report, so we did a few extra minutes getting his thoughts on some of the stakes action today at the Fairgrounds. So up next, again, our colleague, Brian Addo. All right, we're joined now by our colleague, Brian Addo, typically handicapper support. He's looking at some Gulfstream, but obviously based down at Fairgrounds this winter-spring season. It's been fun watching Brian, the pregame and some of the paddock commentary and whatnot. And again, you can also swing by the Fairgrounds website and click on their news link and see some of his stakes recaps and previews and whatnot. But with that in mind, I thought, hey, let's have Brian jump in and talk some of the stakes action on a big day down at the Fairgrounds. Brian, good morning.
Seth, good to talk to you. Good to be with you. Yes, a big day. Weather's been an issue, no doubt about that, but we'll see how it all shakes out on a huge day here at Fairgrounds. Four graded stakes, two major derby slash oaks preps. The Risen Star, hands down, by far the deepest, most competitive derby prep so far.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. And let's start with the Risen Star. Field of 13 entered, and I did the stakes preview with Mike Callahan, focusing on some of these Fairgrounds stakes, and I went with Mandalone. And I told you on the handicapper report a little earlier this morning, I went back and I pulled up the chart from Tis the Law and the Kentucky Jockey Club. Ran third, he was a length behind, first time around two turns. I gave him a little pass on that. I'm giving Mandalone a little pass on the LeCompte. Ran third, he was a length behind, first time around two turns. So I'm going to look for a rebound for Mandalone, then use the two others that were in front of him in the LeCompte, Midnight Bourbon and Proxy. And Senior Buscador is the horse that I find very interesting. Hasn't been seen since the nice win in the Springboard Mile, but two for two and two good-looking wins. What are your thoughts on the Risen Star?
Yeah, just a little bookkeeping first and foremost. Keeping in mind, didn't come. He's staying at Oaklawn for Robertino Diodoro. And then Defeater will run earlier on the card for Tom Amos in a very salty allowance that'll send some horses to the Louisiana Derby. I'm with you, Seth. If nothing else, I'm as stubborn and hard-headed as anyone can be in this handicapping game of ours. And I love Mandalone in the LeCompte. I was very, very disappointed with a capital V and a capital D. But then I looked at this race on paper and I said, you know what, it's not that bad of a race, actually. And he was caught wide and chasing. And, you know, a more experienced horse in Midnight Bourbon got loose and forgot to stop. Brad adds the blinkers. We talked to him extensively the other day, and he wasn't as disappointed either. And I just think there's a lot of reason to think Mandalone, for all the reasons you mentioned, moves forward. So I like him. The horse I was most impressed with leaving the LeCompte was Proxy, who I liked, but wasn't sure if he could step up. And Mike Stidham got him to step up, and he didn't make the lead in the LeCompte. And I thought he was really game. He retook second from Mandalone late. Mike is one of the best guys here, and we spent a lot of time with him the other day, and he was just raving about Proxy. Joe Kay and I went over to get some video and stuff, and Mike brought him out, and it was cool. Mike's like, wow, look at that horse. And he said, well, I got to get a picture of this horse. Look at him. And he just took his camera out and took some pictures of Proxy. So that was cool. If the people back home didn't watch the replay of the Springboard Mile, make sure you do it. I don't know who the heck Senior Buscador beat, but wow, he did it the right way. He looped the field. He looked awesome. It was fast. It was his first start around two turns. Man, Todd Fincher's bringing in a live horse that can run. Do not dismiss him as some ho-hum Remington horse that ran a big figure. This is a serious horse, Seth, and he can run. So it is exciting. Obesos, the son of Orbs, going to like the wetness in the track, and he's stretching out. Carrillo up in New York for Chad was awesome. Now goes off the private purchase for Tom Amos. Midnight Bourbon is 6-1 on the morning line. He won our LeCompte in fast time. So this is an awesome, awesome race. I can't wait to see how it shakes out.
Yeah, I'm with you. It looks like a lot of fun. And as I say, I'm hoping for the rebound for Mandalone with the two-turn experience now under the belt. All right, let's go one race earlier. I'm interested to see where you went here because, again, we did the handicapper's report, the Rachel Alexander Grade 2 event, $300,000 up for grabs for the three-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th. And during the stakes preview, I went with Clairiere. I was on the air when she won the debut at Churchill, and I said, you know, I think Asmussen and Stone Street might have one here. You look at the breeding, and you assume that automatically. Curling on top, cavorting underneath. Cavorting won the 2014 Adirondack up here at Saratoga in only her second start. The next year, she won the test. Subsequently, wins the Phipps and the Personal Ensign. So she was a nice runner and seems to have, you know, produced that in this offspring, Clairiere, who won the career debut looking pretty good. Second start, always tough to step into stakes company the way she did, but it was a good second. However, it was a good second behind Travel Column. That's the horse that is going to be the main competition. But I'm going to tilt towards Clairiere. What are your thoughts on the Rachel?
Well, they're the two. Charlie's Penny is out, if everybody didn't know that. They're the two. Travel Column was really, really good winning the Golden Round. I didn't think she had as much trouble as everybody alluded to. She's been working in company with Essential Quality, the two-year-old champion. And as Brad said, she has been more than holding her own. So I think that bodes well. I would expect her to be closer with an alert beginning. Clairiere did draw better. I kind of have a feeling that Travel Column is a little more cranked to win today than Clairiere. But they're the two. I will mention a couple others. Zoom Up looks really good winning a two-turn allowance here. Moon Swag is improving for Brendan Walsh. Super Sensational had trouble in her two-turn slash dirt debut in the Silver Bullet Day. So there are other gals you can use, Seth, but Travel Column and Clairiere are clearly the two. Travel Column will probably be odds on, and Clairiere will be about 9-5.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because, as I say, when I saw that debut from Clairiere, I thought, she might turn out to be a nice one. And so we'll see if that gets validated Saturday afternoon in the three-year-old debut. The Fairgrounds is scheduled on the turf at a mile and an eighth. And as we said earlier, taping this on Friday and Thursday down at the Fairgrounds, there was a lot of rain. And Brian said that has continued into Friday morning. So we'll keep our ear to the ground as far as how things shape up with turf racing. But the Fairgrounds is scheduled for the turf Grade 3 event, $150,000 up for grabs. Fun race, but I just couldn't get past logical myth off the past couple of wins, which were down at the Fairgrounds in stakes races. He just looks like the one to get by again this afternoon. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, he loves this Stahl Wilson turf course, 5-for-6, but now he's meeting much better than he's faced. Factor this is on his day, he's even money in this race. Now, he didn't fire in the Fort Lauderdale. Brad thought he got in a little compromised trip that day, chasing a crazy pace from a wide draw. He's back with friends. If he's still the same, he will win this race, period. But you don't know kind of dud last time. And logical myth's never been better. Those are the two. Set Piece, the other Brad for Judmon, is a horse that on his day, he's all right. And I don't think we've seen his best on the turf since his U.S. debut. So he's somewhat interesting. Graham, I talked to him the other day. He was driving down from Baltimore. He's shipping in Danceteria. You look at his European form, and that means he's got a penchant for running over an off-turf course. You know, he could move up as well. So there's other horses to use, but I do think you're right. Logical Myth and certainly Factor This are the two to beat.
Yeah, as I say, I put Logical Myth on top. I have Factor This right underneath. It's noted that Factor This is the defending champion in this race, but maybe more importantly, you look down and you don't have to go more than the last six races. Two of those were on off-turf courses, Yielding and Soft, won both of them. So that may be worth considering as well with Factor This. And finally, the graded stakes action, the Grade 3 Mineshaft, couple $100,000, 8.5 furlongs. Looking forward to this one as well because Maxfield just looked really good in the Tenacious back in the middle of December in the comeback event. And you would have to think he is the one to beat. But Sonneman is interesting. And I don't know what to do with Enforceable off that triple-digit buyer win in the optional claiming event for Mark Cassie. What are your thoughts on the Mineshaft?
Well, I mean, clearly Maxfield is the horse to beat, Seth. But if you're against, you know, 2-5 favorites, and he's never run on an off track either, he's never run really fast. He didn't beat anyone in the Tenacious. And Sonneman came back and was very disappointing in the Louisiana. So there are reasons that you're allowed to pick against Maxfield. He did miss a work or so after the Tenacious. But, you know, with that being said, he's really, really good. And even, you know, I talked to Brendan the other day for a while, and even he said, you know, we haven't gotten to the bottom of this horse yet. And then B, you know, who else is in here? I guess if Blackberry Wine gets loose, maybe, but he couldn't hold off Title Ready in a crawl last time. And then Enforceable, that's the one, Seth. I mean, he runs his seismic race last time. Does he bounce? Was it fluky? It was only in a 5-horse field. David Carroll's here. He's a great guy. Mark Cassie's assistant. They were even a little surprised at the way he did it. Now, he does like fairgrounds, but he's going to be spotting tactical speed to Maxfield. So it's tough to get by Maxfield. I kind of want to bet against him just for value purposes. And then you look at this race and say, I can't really do it. He's supposed to win. Maybe it's the next time, wherever the race is, against much, much, much better, that you say, let's try to get a beat Maxfield.
And we worked our way backwards, but this 10th race kicks off an all-stakes pick four, the 4 stakes we just mentioned, an all-stakes pick four. So keep that in mind Saturday afternoon at the fairgrounds. Brian, as always, appreciate the conversation. We'll talk again next week.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Seth. Thanks so much. Best of luck, everyone.
All right, Brian Eddo from the Fairgrounds, a big day highlighted by the Risen Star.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on OTB TV. Again, thanks to Brian Addo for taking some time to give us thoughts on the Fairground Stakes as he's down there this winter. And just want to reiterate, again, if you didn't catch the top of the show, with the rain they had a couple of days ago, track rated good, but could be fast by the time they get to post time. But they have taken two of the turf races off. The 5th and the 7th are off, but the other turf races are on. So keep that in mind. We'll talk some more fairgrounds next. We did another taped interview yesterday. We did it with Brad Cox. Again, he has Mandaloon in the Risen Star. Other entrants on the undercard. And some nice runners going next week that we hit on as well. So up next, trainer Brad Cox. Happy to be joined now by Eclipse Award-winning trainer Brad Cox. Brad, good morning. Got a pretty good ring to it, and congratulations.
Good morning, Seth, and thanks for having me on. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and let's talk about the Eclipse Awards, because we haven't talked to you since then. I mean, it was only a couple of years ago we'd be doing the handicapping shows and we'd be pointing to a Brad Cox horse and say, watch this guy, he's an up-and-comer. And here we are just a couple of years later, and Monomoy Girl and Nick's Go and Covfefe and Essential Quality and an Eclipse Award. I'm curious, as a TV guy, I used to own a television production company, and I watched the awards production, which was all pre-taped. I'm curious, when you pre-taped yours, did you know you had won the award, or did they just say, you're going to have to watch that night, we're taping the acceptance speech from everybody?
Well, I was just told to, do an acceptance speech at Gulfstream. They didn't say if we won or not. So, it was exciting.
That's pretty good.
It was exciting. You know, some suspense, to say the least, I guess you'd say.
So you were just watching at home, and you were as surprised as everybody.
Yeah. I was. Kind of cool, kind of nice, quiet evening at home, excited about the show, and it worked out well for us.
Yeah, very good. We were happy for you. Pop a little champagne?
No, I went right to bed. I had to get up the next morning.
Life of a trainer. Sure. Very good. But again, congratulations. You had a great year, that spectacular Breeders' Cup weekend, and deserved it. So that was a lot of fun to watch. Congratulations a couple days ago, 1,500 career winners. So congratulations on that as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, very nice. Before we get into Saturday afternoon, I just wanted to touch on a couple of those Eclipse Award-winning horses you had and get a little update, because otherwise we would have been talking about them this weekend also, but they were aiming for Oaklawn. And so while we talked, I pulled up the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Essential Quality, the Breeders' Cup Distaff Monomoy Girl. As I say, they were both set to make seasonal debuts at Oaklawn this weekend, but with the cold weather down there, they've pushed everything to next week, the Southwest and the Bay of Coa. How are Essential Quality and Monomoy Girl doing? How are they coming into their seasonal debuts? And will you now still aim next weekend for Oaklawn with both of them?
Yeah, they're both doing really well. We were looking forward to running Monday, but, Oaklawn definitely made the right call with the forecast and, made the right decision. So, they give us plenty of time. We didn't have to ship our horses north or anything, so it worked out well. They'll just both breeze again, somewhat of a maintenance breeze. I feel like we have them both ready to go, and we're ready for this Monday. So we'll just, nice, easy work this weekend, hopefully at the fairgrounds on Sunday, and then turn our attention toward next Saturday at Oaklawn. So. But both are doing well and excited about getting them started.
Yeah, really looking forward to the season for both of them, especially Monomoy Girl. It's just fun to have her back after a really good 2020 season. Looking forward to both of those. So we'll look for them next weekend at Oaklawn. Just wanted to touch on one other. We're going to look at the stretch run to the Pegasus and see Nick's Go get it done. He is aimed next weekend for the Saudi Cup. And as I understand it, he's already over there, made the trip this week. What's the word from Saudi Arabia? How did Nick's Go make the trip?
So far, so good. He actually trained. Friday morning was his first morning of training. So he's doing well. He's settled in fine. The weather's good. It's warm in the day, and it cools off at night. So the horses get a little break from the heat. But overall, he's shipped well. He's doing great. We're looking forward to the challenge next Saturday.
Yeah, and it sounded like from reading over the past couple of weeks, you were kind of debating whether to go or not with the timing after the Pegasus Cup, but he ran so well in the Pegasus Cup, and I guess working with you down at the fairgrounds, he signaled you he's ready for the Saudi Cup.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's a big ask for a horse to perform the way he did at Gulfstream and then come back in 4 weeks and ship halfway around the world. So, but, we just feel like we have a strong hand. We have a big, great opportunity for a race that's not been around long, but obviously has captures the horse racing stage on a worldwide level. So, we're excited about the opportunity. The horse did bounce out of the Pegasus in great order, and he had a real nice work here last Saturday at the fairgrounds. So he gave us enough confidence moving forward that, hopefully this is the right decision. And once again, he's made the ship in good shape. So we're excited about it.
Yeah, looking forward to that as well. So good luck next weekend. But you have a big day on Saturday. And one of the reasons I wanted you on this morning, because I wanted some thoughts on Mandaloon. So we'll kind of work our way back from the Risen Star. Mandaloon, I'm excited about. And, after the LeCompte, and we did a stakes preview show yesterday. We taped that. And I said it when I did that show. I pulled up the chart from Tis the Law a couple of seasons ago in the Kentucky Jockey Club. Tis the Law, that was third career start, first time around two turns, and he ran third by a length. And I thought Mandaloon was kind of similar. Third career start, the LeCompte was his first time around two turns. We're going to watch the stretch run here. Mandaloon's going to be the number 10 horse. Winds up third. I thought for the first time around two turns, it was a pretty good try. Can build off of that. But as I say, I want to hear your opinion. What was your takeaway from the LeCompte, and what do you expect on Saturday for Mandaloon?
Well, I expect him to step forward. We've added blinkers to him. I do think it was a very good race around two turns for the first time. The other horses in the race had a little bit of seasoning and experience on him, more racing. So, you know, we'll see how things go. I'm excited. There wasn't a lot of pace in his last race. He caught wide, set on the outside of, you know, the horses that finished in front of him and lost some ground. So, you know, hoping for a little bit more of a ground-saving trip. Like I said, he's doing well. He's a very sound horse. His last two works here since the LeComp been very, very good. So I'm hoping he takes that step forward, and I think he will.
Have the blinkers been on in the works?
I'm sorry, what's that, Seth?
Have the blinkers been on in the works in the morning?
Yes. His last two works have been with blinkers.
And just looking at the PPs for Saturday, it looks like was he working in company with Wells Bayou?
Yeah, actually he was. So he definitely held his own. You know, they were a great matchup. They both got something out of it, and he's really seemed to step forward since the LeComp.
What was the thought process on adding the blinkers?
You know, we kind of always thought he might be a horse that would need them, but early on, you know, he's really quick out of the gate in his first two starts, but then the horses kind of got away from him a little bit, more of an indication that we thought he would, you know, need more ground, but good enough to get it done going short, and he was. And he's just kind of a horse that kind of tends to look around, maybe not stay 100% focused. So we're hoping that the blinkers can kind of, you know, get him a little more focused and he'll move forward.
Very good. Let's go a little bit earlier on the card because I'd like some opinions on Travel Column as well. She comes out of the Goldenrod last November. Nice win there at Churchill. And this is a nice version of the Rachel Alexander. While we talk, we're going to take a look at that Goldenrod. Travel Column will be the number 5 horse. Clairiere, who is also in Saturday, is the number 6 horse in here. They run 1-2. But give me your thoughts how Travel Column is coming into the 3-year-old debut on Saturday.
She's training great. She really is. She's been working with Essential Quality, holding her own. She's a good workhorse. She's really seemed to move forward mentally since the Goldenrod. She really grew up a lot mentally throughout the fall, and I think has continued to move forward mentally throughout the winter. So looking forward to getting her started, and I think she's going to run big tomorrow.
Yeah, and it has to give you a little confidence going forward with a 3-year-old male or filly to have a win over the Churchill Strip and where you're aiming for that early part of May with these 3-year-olds. That's got to give you a little confidence as well in the 3-year-old season.
Yeah, for sure. She's 2-for-2 there at Churchill, and you know, able to win going short and long, and that means a lot, you know, like you said, moving forward, pointing for the Oaks or the Derby.
Game plan for her, or is it a race-by-race thing? But I'm assuming the game plan for her may be to stay on this trail down at the fairgrounds until moving to Churchill in May?
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, really the only options, you know, as long as everything goes well in the Rachel, we would look at, you know, the two logical spots would be the Fairgrounds Oaks or the Bluegrass at Keeneland. So, you know, we'll just kind of have to see how things play out after the race.
All right, let's move a little earlier. A turf race, and again, with the weather down there, we'll have to see how things shake out as far as the fairgrounds. But you have a couple in here, and I pulled up a replay of last year's fairgrounds, and the winner will be Factor This. So let's start talking about Factor This. Factor This, as I say, the defending champ. But also, if they do wind up sticking on the turf on Saturday, Factor This has some nice performances on off-turf going. That has to give you some confidence.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he ran a big race in this, the Pimlico race on Preakness Day last year was a big race, and it was a lot of give to the ground that day. So, you know, I'm hopeful that it'll stay on. You know, that's, you know, we'll have to see how things go. But if it stays on, I think he'll take to the footing and he'll be just fine. We have Set Piece in there. He's a nice horse. Probably likes a little more of a firm turf. We'll just have to see. You know, I think we would run him even if there was some give in the ground because he's doing well. But definitely Factor This is one that doesn't mind the cut in the ground for sure.
Yeah, and Set Piece, we have the replay of the Prairie Bayou, which was last time out at Turfway on the synthetic. But Set Piece has some European form, and you always figure the Europeans can handle a little bit of give in the ground, and there are some races a little further down the page that maybe indicate that a little bit. So again, with the European form, going forward, you would think he'll be okay as well on the off going.
Yes, yes. So we'll see how it goes.
And as I say, we're watching here the stretch run of his race last time at Turfway. Did you come out of this race and immediately think of the race down at Fairgrounds?
Yeah, we did. There's a race late March at Turfway, which, like we said, he seems to be, he definitely likes the synthetic. I think he's won 5 races on the synthetic in his career, but between Europe and here. So, we're going to try to use this as a bridge to that next race. And, you know, hopefully if he runs well on the turf, we'd probably leave him on the turf. But if not, we'll move him back to the synthetic, the end of March at Turfway.
Sounds good. And finally, let's take a look at Wells Bayou. Runs in the mineshaft on Saturday. We're going to go back and look at the Louisiana Derby from last year, showing a little affinity for the Fairgrounds course. Wells Bayou is going to be the number 3 horse in here. Subsequently ran in the Arkansas Derby early in May and then was off until January 16th, ran 3rd in the Louisiana. But I would think you would have to feel it probably benefits from that and moves forward. What are your feelings on Wells Bayou on Saturday?
Well, I do think he'll move forward off that one race in Louisiana. He was working well enough to start him back in that race and give us some confidence. He ran a really good race and obviously has had 2 nice works since. So we're excited about getting him going on Saturday. And he'll need to step up. That's a solid race. It's a very, very deep grade 3, $200,000 race. So he's going to need to move forward. He definitely seems like he has since the Louisiana handicap last month.
Yeah, Maxfield in there and Enforceable with that triple-digit buyer last time that just makes that one, as a handicapper, Enforceable, a little bit of a head-scratcher for Mark Cassie. But you pick up John Velasquez on board, so that was a nice addition. How'd you wind up with Johnny V?
His agent, obviously, Ron Anderson, just let it be known that he was going to be here that day, and it worked out well. Florent has obviously had a lot of luck and success on Wells Bayou, and you know, you'd ask if you know he had could retain the mount on Maxfield if it didn't bother us, and it doesn't bother us. So, thought we were in good shape with Johnny V.
Yeah, no diminishment there with a guy like him on board. Brad, wish you a lot of luck coming up on Saturday. As I say, I like Mandaloon coming out of the comp, so really looking forward to seeing his performance in the Risen Star, plus the other runners as well. And a lot of good luck next weekend also. Looking forward to the return of Monomoy Girl, Essential Quality, Nick's Go over in the Saudi Cup. And once again, congratulations on the great 2020 and the Eclipse Award. Always appreciate the time, and we'll talk again.
All right, Seth, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Brad Cox, a big day scheduled at the Fairgrounds on Saturday.
Horses racing, people betting. It's been going on since before the Roman Empire. And the fastest horse is still the one that wins. Where there's gambling, there's cheating. That hasn't changed either. What has changed are the tools used to combat doping and cheaters. Today, professional horse racing operates under an aggressive anti-doping program, testing labs on par with the Olympics, and standards tougher than human sport. For 85 years, the Association of Racing Commissioners International has fought for safe horses and honest sport. ARCI standards form the basis for the rules of racing. Today, they call for a new expanded program to protect all horses, young and old. To join with them or learn more, visit arci.com.
Welcome to All Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised earlier, joined now live by Dave Rodman from Laurel. And Dave, first, good morning. We haven't talked to you in a while. Happy New Year.
A while. Where you been, old friend?
That's right. I text you every once in a while, because every once in a while I get a good laugh when in some of your calls. And I texted you a couple of weeks ago, that they had mentioned you on the pregame show down in New York, and that was kind of fun to hear Andy and Anthony talking about you a little bit and giving you a thumbs up, and I will concur there. But it has been a while, as I say, and just as it has been a while, give us a little update on Laurel and the pandemic situation right now. Are you a fans, limited fans, owners? What's the situation there?
We were no fans for a while when we first opened, and then for about 3 to 4 weeks, I believe it was, we did have fans, and then the positivity rate started to spike a little bit.
Yeah.
So the governor, put an end to that. So we've been no fans ever since, and currently no fans, but owners are allowed, and the people who are here to run the horses. But yeah, owners can definitely come out and watch their horses on the apron, and we hope to have fans soon. I mean, the positivity rate here in Maryland is declining day by day, so hopefully soon.
Yeah, it's the same all over, really. It's kind of been a freaky situation over the past, pretty much the whole year, and then when we got into the colder weather, things did kind of spike up a little bit all over the place. Before we get into today, nice card today, I just wanted to go back and was there some excitement a couple of weeks ago down in Maryland, the breeding ground of apprentice jockeys? Because I don't know what the count is, but over the years, Maryland has had their share of Eclipse Award winners and did it again, the apprentice jockey this year, based on a Maryland Alexander Crispin.
Yeah, Alex Crispin's riding in really good form, and congratulations on him on winning the Eclipse Award. He had big multiple win day here just before winning the Eclipse Award, and we also have an Farron Peterson is put her taxi here as well. She's got a few mounts here and there, but picking up steam, and she's riding a lot for Hugh McMahon, and good solid speed rider. So the colony, being a closed colony like most places are now, it's tough for someone to break through. So it's a decision that several people have made to stay, and it looks like Alex is going to do just fine.
Yeah, it's, as I say, over the years, a real breeding ground down there in Maryland for the apprentice jockeys, who then typically go on to have very lucrative and good careers as well, so we'll keep our eyes on him. Also want to let you talk a little bit, the holiday weekend, you guys are scheduled to run on Monday, correct?
Yeah, we're running today, tomorrow, Monday as well. I'm hoping that we can run both days, because as iffy as the weather is right now, with possible sleet freezing rain, there was some sleet on the way in, but most of it's going to stay to the south, but the temperatures are really going to get cold this evening. So we're planning on running the overnights are out to Sunday and Monday. Just a heads up on that.
All right. I've been saying the last few days, we all got to keep our ears to the ground. It's not just you guys. It's not just in the Northeast here. It's the whole East Coast with the right. Arctic vortex or the polar vortex. There, that has come back into the vocabulary over the past week or so. Let's jump in. And nice series of stakes races. I say it all the time. The wintertime down at Laurel is a lot of fun. It seems like every two or three weeks, nice big stakes day, including today. And let's kick it off race number three this afternoon, the Miracle Wood for the three-year-olds. And I really like the winter three-year-old series down there at Laurel. I think some nice horses come out of it that are worth paying attention to as the year goes along. And I don't think today will be any exception. Kenny Had a Notion and May the Horse Be With You come out of the close-up 1-2 finish and the spectacular bid. So they're logical in today's Miracle Wood. But Chad Brown and Klarovich send down subsidized, and I'm sure the betting public will note that team and how potent they are. What are your thoughts on the Miracle Wood?
Yeah, well, Kenny Had a Notion is interesting. He loves this track, but it's definitely wet today. A lot of rain and some sleet earlier today. It's still raining. It's going to rain most of the afternoon. The track will be off. And Kenny Had a Notion has won four races. However, you do note that he was beaten on and off track at Delaware Park. So I don't know whether that means he just doesn't like the off, or maybe he wasn't quite the horse at the time, or maybe he just didn't like Delaware as much as he loves Laurel. I do know that Dale Kopp has him in good form right now. I call him Dale Earmuffs Capuano because he's been pulling, not because of the cold weather, but I don't know whether this horse had them last out or not, but he's pulled, he likes to put the earmuffs on a lot of his horses. He had one yesterday, I think. It might have been earmuffs first time. And so it's kind of a not copyrighted a piece of equipment for him, but something he's had a lot of success with. Yeah. But in any case, Kenny Had a Notion, Great Notion, Maryland's leading a sire. You know, multiple stakes winners, obviously, by him. And this is no exception. He loves Laurel. Will he love the off track today? Seth, I do like a long shot in this race, and that's number two, New Year's Block Party. I saw his last race in the Pasco at Tampa Bay. They're shipping here back to Maryland, Anthony Pecoraro, after shipping down south. And he ran a huge, huge race behind Nova Rags last time out. And this one-turn mile, I think, is going to be right up his alley, New Year's Day by Street Cry. And I'm going to use him at least underneath of whoever you like in the Miracle Wood today.
Yeah, and that's worth noting, the second to Nova Rags in the Pasco, because Nova Rags came back to run very well, running second to the stablemate last week in the Sam Davis. All right, let's turn the page to the John Campbell. $100,000 up for grabs, mile and a 16th, the trip. I've liked Bankit throughout the career, a nice New York bred for Steve Asmussen, comes down from his Belmont base to try the Campbell this afternoon. But Cordmaker, the six-year-old, has been very prolific down there on the Maryland circuit through the years. Dixie Drawl, however, for Capuano, comes in off a really nice optional claiming win that, boy, if he could repeat that, Dixie Drawl becomes interesting. What are your thoughts on the Campbell?
He got an 83 buyer figure out of that race, but visually, to me, it was his best race yet. It wasn't his best number, but visually speaking, his best race yet. He's in good form right now. He likes Laurel as well. A six-time winner, and he's been okay on an off track too. But I think the horse to beat is the horse outside is Bankit. Got to use him from the Asmussen barn. Just a note: yesterday was probably maybe the most pronounced bias we've seen at Laurel in a long time. The inside, maybe not the pass to be in. The outside pass were preferred, and Bankit has an eight post here, going a mile and a 16th, which is a short run to the first turn, but that's almost a good thing given the way the track was playing yesterday. So I think he's a use. My long shot in here is Awesome DJ, who was third in a really quick comeback race by that nine-year-old Always Sunshine, who had been off a long time, came back to win a sprint 5.5 and almost track record time. Always Sunshine, Awesome DJ rather, stretching back out to the two-turn distance today. You'll note that he was third behind Harper's First Ride in the deputed testimony. Harper's First Ride, of course, the Pimlico Special winner this past spring at past spring. I say, listen to me, past the fall or wherever you're at,
yeah, exactly.
The Pimlico special in this COVID delayed in this COVID delayed Pimlico special winner. Wow, awesome DJ at a price my price play today. From just off the pace in the John Campbell.
I like it, 15-1. And, yeah, don't worry about the calendar. We are all in that scenario this past year.
Yeah.
Race number five this afternoon, the Nellie Morse, $100,000 for the Phillies and Mares going a mile and a 16th. Nice field in here as well. You can go in a few different directions. Lucky Move is interesting. Lucky Strike from Trombetta is very interesting as well. Landing Zone on the inside from Claudio Gonzalez. What are your thoughts on Nellie Morse?
I like Trombetta with Lucky Stride. The Trombetta barn has been red hot not only in Maryland but all over the nation the last 30-45 days. Comes off a win at Tampa. He's run over this track before. She's run over this track before behind Eris, too, who is in good form from, I believe, the Delacour barn. So Lucky Stride, to me, is the one to beat in here. I'm going to use her on all the tickets, looking for maybe a little better price. Claudio has Landing Zone. But there's a horse in here that Keith Fustel, our morning line maker, does a show like, and that's Wicked Awesome. Who likes an off track. She loves to win. She's an 8-time winner. She's okay at Laurel. She was behind Lucky Stride at S2 in the 38 go-go, but she's got the right kind of running style on an off track, and she's going to be a little bit better price. The pace should be sharp enough in this race with the likes of the Ben Bachmer, Artful Splatter. She's a one way to go, and that's on the lead horse, Dreamer's Moon, with some speed. So I think the winner probably just off of it. So I'm going to use Lucky Stride. I keep wanting to say Lucky Strike. showing my age there. And Wicked Awesome and using Landing Zone in there as well. They both kind of been all around each other in various races when you look at their running line.
Yeah, Marshall Graham's 10-strike racing has Lucky Move in there as well. And that they're pretty crafty about spotting their horses. I may take a look at that one also. The Wide Country, race number six this afternoon. This is the Philly version of the three-year-old race, 7 furlongs the trip. It's interesting. Linda Rice brings in a horse from a New York base, but the horse, Salt Plage, has only had 2 starts so far at Parks. So that's intriguing. Street Loot is going to be the one to beat in here. 6 wins and 7 starts. There are a couple others. A Little Huntress is maybe a little bit interesting as well from Brittany Russell off the nice maiden win in career start number 2. But, yeah, Street Loot, hard to get by that one with the gaudy record so far. But what are your thoughts in the Wide Country?
Well, she's 1-for-1 in the wet. She's a win machine is Street Loot. So she's the one to beat. She was almost beaten at 7 furlongs by a fraudulent charge, but I think that's more of a case. So the X-Man kind of looked over to the tote board and the video board and saw she was in front, kind of relaxed a little bit on her there and made it too close for the chalk players, winning that photo by a nose. So 7/8 may not be her best distance, but she's won at the distance before a couple of times, and she's the one to beat. But with Salt Plage in the race, it adds the intrigue. Her debut win at Parks, I thought, back last year as a 2-year-old, was kind of won on an outside bias day. It's funny, I was talking with a friend of mine, one of my degenerate gambler friends, and he loved her. He loved her last time at Parks. I said, realize she won an outside bias, I thought. But you go back and look at the races all that day in the charts and just the way the track was playing. She goes, no, I love her. And so I watched the race, and I was amazed at her running style there. She made multiple moves in that race before they get to the top of the stretch. And then when she finally made that final move, not only did she win, she wasn't a driving winner. She won going away like a true freak. That Salt Plage in here. So here she is trying stakes company in the Wide Country. So definitely fearful of her, maybe to put a little blemish in the record of Street Loot today.
Yeah,
a long shot play is going to be Bucky's Charm, though, who gets LASIKs for the first time from the Ham Smith Barn. Cyril Lynch back in the saddle after that injury last summer that sidelined him for months and months and months. But she's a confirmed closer, and she looked like a good horse in breaking her maiden at Laurel for that maiden 40 waiver claiming type tag. She showed a lot of talent in her debut. Maybe the day today's the day she can turn the tide on Street Luge. She was only beaten a couple of lengths by her last out and beaten ahead by Miss Leslie in a stake going two turns. Is shortening back up today and works since. I think she's fit. And she'll be rolling Bucky's Charm in here.
Yeah, I kind of like the cutback angle there. 10-1 on the betting line for that one. Yeah. All right, let's move on to the graded stakes action. That kicks off in race number 7 with the Barbara Fritchie. $250,000 up for grabs for the fillies and mares going 7. And we did a stakes preview a couple of days ago, Dave, and I pulled up and took a look at the replay, the What a Summer for Hello Beautiful. We'll look at that replay as Hello Beautiful pretty much leads most of the way around to take this one. Club Car will run second. Club Car is back in this afternoon as well. But, you know, you talk about a win machine. Hello Beautiful, 7-for-7 at Laurel. I just couldn't get past that one. So for me, it's Hello Beautiful. But what are your thoughts on the Fritchie?
Yeah, the Laurel dirt course seems to be hers. I mean, she's 2-for-2 on the wet. I don't think we're going to get past her today. And she, again, has that outside draw today. If the track was anything like yesterday, that will probably enhance her chances, albeit at a short price today. So 7-for-7 on the Laurel dirt, looking to be 8-for-8 after today. And she's going to be the obvious on everyone's ticket. Hibiscus Punch is an intriguing long shot. She's improved slowly but surely under the care of Justin Nixon since moving from turf and synthetic in Canada under the Kelly Callahan barn, moving here to Laurel. Justin Nixon, a very patient trainer. He's got her in good form right now. She was second to Don't Let Sweet Fool You in the Willa on the move, but she showed a bit of a different dimension last time out by rating, coming from off the pace and finishing off the job. So she's learned to rate a little bit into Mischief Mayor, Hibiscus Punch, at a price in here in the exactas. I don't know what the track's going to be playing like today. We'll certainly know by the seventh race. I did like the chances a little bit, a Club Car to close in here for a share as well. She was second to Hello Beautiful, getting to her at the end, but Hello Beautiful was just kind of not geared down, but there's no doubt that, you know, you look back at the race and Hello Beautiful was really the best filly in the What a Summer there.
All right, and let's move on to the General George Grade 3 event, 7 furlongs the trip, also $250,000 up for grabs. And I'll be interested to hear your opinion on my horse because we're going to watch here the stretch run of the Morrissey from Saratoga this past summer, and it's going to be Funny Guy. And I came back on the air the next day and replayed this, and I said, you know, this horse will be one to watch going forward. It hasn't quite worked out that way. Did win 2 back the New York Stallion Series and had a good second in the Vosburgh. So ran well, just not as well as I was kind of hoping. So I'm a little bit married to this one. I was disappointed to see the morning line of 9-5. I'll be interested to see where the betting public does go. But I'm going to jump on Funny Guy once again. But Lakai and Lebda in here, they're interesting. Majestic Dunhill. What are your thoughts on the General George?
Yeah, he's a hard-hitting horse. I do agree with you. You know, we're hoping for a little bit better price than 9-5. I mean, it's hard to leave him off the ticket. You remember the Forgo, how rainy and sloppy it was at Saratoga that day, yeah. August 29th, right? And it seemed to
Trombo.
Be the outside
It was Trombetta with win-win-win.
Yeah, it was win-win-win, way out there, right, in the track, right?
Yeah, with Trombetta.
Yeah. And Funny Guy was down inside. I thought horses down inside were on the worst part of the track that day. Loved him next time out, and he was favored against Firenze Fire and ran second. I can't believe he's favored against Firenze. Good effort there. But, you know, he's come back to redeem himself and win, but not the money I lost on him that day behind win-win-win. He got bogged down on the inside. So, yeah, Lakai is the kind of horse who likes Laurel, and he seems to show up at the right time. You know, he's an 8-time winner at Laurel. You look back on it, he kind of chases and runs second, but leave it to Damon Dillon to get him cranked up at the right time in the General George. And I believe Damon didn't. He won the General George a few years back. He got me thinking now, right? Gosh, I can't remember the name of the horse. But Damon looking for another win there. It was a local horse, too. His name escapes me. I just have a hard time with the race, honestly. I just don't want to take a short price on Funny Guy. Lakai's down inside. Who knows what that's going to be like today? Maybe the flyer in here is Majestic Dunhill, looking to redeem himself off of the Grade 3 Mr. Prospector, where he was against Sleepy Eyes Todd and a tough, tough group in there. He's back to Laurel. He likes Laurel. Winner already out of the Mr. Prospector. George Weaver, great at this kind of layoff. I mean, at 10-1, I think you might have to look at him. He's 2-for-3 on the wet as well. And again, he's not with an inside draw again this afternoon. He's kind of toward the middle.
Yeah.
And his running style, well, I think, will be about maybe, you know, mid-pack to 3-4 lengths off the pace.
Yeah, I think he's a player, definitely. I think it's a fun race. Yeah. On a fun day, lots of stakes action down at Laurel. We're knocking wood and hoping the weather holds up and whatnot, not just today, but over the weekend as well. Dave, always fun to have some conversation. Appreciate your visit and the thoughts. Wish you and everybody at Laurel a great weekend, and we will talk again.
Okay, Seth, have a great day. Good luck, everybody.
Appreciate it. Dave Rodman from Laurel. Again, really nice stakes card today. Keep that in mind, highlighted by the two graded stakes at the end of the card. But the three-year-old races are going to be a lot of fun. Looks like a big day down at Laurel. And don't forget, they're scheduled. Again, everything up here in the Northeast, a little dependent on weather, but they're scheduled to be one of the tracks running on the holiday Monday also. All right, I'm going to wrap things up. We took a look at some of the action at Laurel just now and a little bit earlier down at Fairgrounds. Really nice stakes action on this Saturday afternoon. Do want to remind you, there's a $100 online knockout challenge today. Go to the website for more information there. We'd love to have you come down to the Clubhouse Racebook today and take a shot at the new promotion, the Play the Board Handicapping Contest. That happens today down at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Same location that tomorrow. You can get your chance to spin the prize wheel. Come on in tomorrow, put your name in the hat. Folks randomly selected throughout the afternoon. You spin the wheel. There's vouchers and swag and always a lot of fun. Prize wheel Sunday, tomorrow. Sunday also, there's an online Pick 5 bankroll. I'll be playing that ticket on behalf of 10 folks that will be randomly selected online. Go to the website for more information on your chance to get on the bankroll team. And there's a knockout challenge here on the holiday Monday. Clubhouse Racebook knockout challenge with, again, some of the bigger tracks running on this holiday Monday. Great day to come down to the Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Once again, let me just go through some of the notes that'll set you up for today and the weekend. Derby Future weekend. So Derby Future Pool 3, if you want to jump in and have some fun. If you go over to Equidaily, I have free PPs listed for the Future Pool. So you can print those up and take a look if you would like to, but you have until 6 o'clock tomorrow to play Derby Future Pool 3. Today at Gulfstream, the Rainbow Six has a mandatory. They are expecting potentially $6 million in the pool. That's the Gulfstream Park mandatory Rainbow Six this afternoon. Oaklawn, they have already canceled because of expected super cold temperatures down there throughout the weekend. So they were going to go through the holiday weekend. They've canceled this weekend. As you heard earlier when we talked to Brad Cox, the stakes for today have been moved to next weekend, and we can look potentially for Essential Quality and Monomoy Grill next weekend down at Oaklawn. That should be fun, certainly. Tampa Bay, crazy sequence at the end of the day yesterday leads to a late pick five carryover at Tampa and a pretty good pot of money to take a shot at. And these pick five carryovers attract attention. So expect the pool to kick up a little bit. Tampa's late pick five today, just under $50,000 in the carryover pool. Tampa late pick five this afternoon. And that pretty much takes you through. So as far as this afternoon, I'll be back in an hour and a half or so with OTB Live, as we will be taking live looks at plenty of this action. We're going to throw Aqueduct in the mix and some Tampa and some Gulfstream, but I've looked at the Laurel races and I've looked at fairground races. So We'll have some thoughts all around the ovals, as it were, this afternoon with OTB Live, and we hope you stay tuned for that. Tomorrow morning, we're back on at 10 a.m. with Racing Across America, stakes recaps and handicapping and whatnot. Hopefully you got some ideas for this afternoon on this morning's show. More importantly, they're good ideas that lead to some cashing of some tickets, but we'll also toss out some thoughts as the afternoon progresses again in about an hour and a half or so for the afternoon edition of OTB Live. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. And we'll wrap it up now, and as I say, be back in about an hour and a half or so. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.